Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're all craving March Madness. We know, unfortunately, the NCAA tournament is canceled this year, but let's head out to the hotline right now and welcome in the former head coach of the St. Joe's Hawks. Did spend his first year in Michigan this year on Juwan Howard's staff, and that's our good buddy and coach Phil Martelli. Coach, how you been?
Zach, how are you?
I'm doing all right, considering the circumstances. How are you and your family hanging out?
We're doing pretty well. I was able to come home to outside of Philadelphia. My wife stayed here during the year. We were able to leave Detroit last Monday and have been in touch with my sons at Bryant University in Cranston, Rhode Island. He has three children up there and my son at VCU. My daughter lives about a mile. They've been able to drive by, wave, and, it's just, I think, a moment in time when you bring the loved ones closer than they've ever been, and we kind of look out for each other, and that's what we're trying to do. Hope you're doing the same.
Well, yeah, we're trying our best, and, you know, I ended up going home to spend some time with my family and get out of New York City, and we're going to do this all together, as it definitely is a scary time, but hopefully sooner rather than later, we get back to living some sort of normal life once again, as, like I said, it's a scary time, as Phil Martelli is here with us. So, heck, we know that there's real-world issues, and then there's sports issues as well. Sometimes they do go together. Two Thursdays ago, when you find out you guys are getting ready to face Rutgers, you find out the Big Ten tournament is canceled, and then shortly after that, the NCAA tournament gets canceled. Take me back to two Thursdays ago, Coach.
Well, actually, it started on the Wednesday when we were taking the bus from Ann Arbor to Indianapolis, and we were kind of talking, and people were speaking out loud about what was coming across their phone, and the Ivy League canceled, and then there was going to be no fans, and we got to Indianapolis, and that's when it hit with Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz. I remember in the back of my mind saying, that's it. I don't even know if we'll go to the arena tomorrow. And we went through a normal, as best you can describe it as normal, because that was when Fred Hoiberg got sick, and there were all kinds of things going through the team and through the staff about what was coming. And Juwan Howard did a really good job of keeping these guys tight, at least on the surface. Inside, I think they were kids and uncertain, like all of us were. We got up on Thursday morning. I got a text from my son. He was at the Barclays for VCU to play at noon, and he said, be ready, because they told us to expect to be pulled off the court. I just filed that away. We went to the arena, and in the arena, the administrators were there, the Michigan administrators, and telling us to, you know, go continue as if this was going to be on. The players were out on the floor. I was out on the floor. I turned to speak to somebody. There weren't that many people there. I turned to speak to somebody, and when I saw them signaled off the floor, I said, that's it. There was probably a 1/100th of a sliver of my brain that said, well, they didn't announce the NCAA tournament. Maybe they're taking this time to figure out a way to somehow salvage the tournament. And then I kind of smacked myself in the head and said, just look at your phone, and the world is basically imploding here, and some damn game is not going to be that important when we get to the end of the night. So back to the hotel, talk to the players, explain to them what was going on, and then during that period of time is when the NCAA tournament, it was announced. So we bust back. School had been closed, so Friday we didn't do anything. Staff met. late in the day. Saturday morning, we met with the players and took them through A to Z. Who's staying? Who's going? Here's how you're going to travel. If you're staying, here's how you're going to eat. Here's how class is going to go. And then the staff kind of split up responsibilities for staying on campus or going home. And I drew the straw to go home. Howard Eisley drew a straw to go home, and he ended up staying in Ann Arbor because he's from New York and his family was in New York. And it was just percolating then. And so he brought everybody to Ann Arbor, and Coach Howard Juwan went and was with his family in Miami. And since then, we've been what everybody's been doing, trying to do the best we can with social distancing and doing the best that we can to keep everybody in sight and in mind as best we can.
Coach Martelli here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of times when you have kids playing for you, they look for you for answers. And you were probably looking for some answers too, because there was so much uncertainty that was going on. How do you, and I'm just thinking about this right now, how did you try to give those kids in such a crazy time where so many things are moving and such an emotional time at their life getting ready for postseason play, when it ends so quickly and so abruptly, how do you try to give them some closure on the season when clearly there's bigger things that are ahead of them, but still in their minds, this time of March is the biggest time of their lives?
There's no question. And first, I salute Juwan Howard because he spent some time with each player in our group setting, but he made it a personal conversation with each of them. The only thing that I could remotely compare to, Zach, was I can remember exactly on 9/11, we were in the weight room at St. Joseph's, and I looked up and I didn't quite understand what I was seeing on the screen. And we kind of went through and we stayed in the workout when really it would have been better to gather everybody, and knowing that everybody was fearful that the world had just changed. The United States had been attacked. The mistake that I made, and I told this to the players in Michigan, is that I let everybody go their own way. And then I spent the rest of that day, the next couple of days, going to each spot on campus where I would hear somebody was in the chapel or somebody was in the dining hall. And I apologized to them because I should have done a much better job of making sure that they were connected. I didn't have any answers, and I don't have any answers for the Michigan players. I can't say to them, this is how you feel or this is how you should feel. All I could do is just say to them that my arms are open, my heart is open, and my mind is open. Anything that they want to talk about or anything that they're feeling, please, you're not alone. And that's been the driving message in text each morning to the players. Nobody's alone. Nobody's alone, and nobody's alone. And, you know, we're going to come out of this on the other side, but we're going to come out together.
Phil Martelli is my guest right now, now of the Michigan Wolverines on Juwan Howard's staff. Coach, when we look at March Madness, I always say this, that yes, we look at the players and the coaches, but there's so much more that goes into it. Mm-hmm. All the fans traveling, their student media members covering games for their final time, the band members are playing for their mm-hmm. final time too as seniors. So you know that senior relationship. What do you say as a coach to seniors, you know, not only maybe at your program, but other programs as well, that yes, life does go on. There's bigger things to deal with in life, but they got robbed of a special time in their life.
There's no question. And, you know, there's a group that I think that we under-talk about, under-report, so to speak, and that's senior managers.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of programs, you earn your stripes, and then all of a sudden you're a senior and you're a head manager and you're traveling and you have all this excitement and you have all this work and you're so selfless. It was really important that our senior managers at Michigan were recognized in the locker room as much as our senior players. And I think all of the cliches about, well, life's not fair, and if this is the toughest blow of your life, I don't think any of that.
You don't want to hear that as a player in that spot.
No. What I want to hear as a player, and what I tried to express, as I said earlier, is, hey, I'm here. I don't have an answer. But I have I have ears and I have a heart, and I'm not in as much pain as you, because as you said, this is your last time. And for me, there's going to be another time, and there were other times. And I just want you to know that there's nothing that you could have done. There's no player, no Marcus Howard, no Miles Powell, no John Teske. You didn't do anything. And when we go through life, how we respond to situations is probably more valuable than the situations that are presented to us.
Coach, this year in the Big Ten, it was absolutely bonkers. It was the preeminent conference in college basketball. You guys were 19-12, and even with the transition losing Coach Beilein, that's a heck of a job, and we know how good that conference is. When you remember this team, Coach Martelli, how do you remember this group when you have to now put it in a state of reflection?
Great, great question. I'm going to remember July 3rd when we met with them for the first time and their eyes being wide open. And here was Juwan Howard. And obviously they knew the legacy as a player at Michigan, the Fab Five and two Final Four appearances and all that kind of stuff. But to see them look at him and to embrace him with their eyes and embrace them with their work ethic, and to watch him grow as a coach and for them to allow him to coach them, it was a pleasure. That was a real joy. And, you know, everybody will say, well, it must have been unbelievable, 7-0. And yeah, that was great. And, you know, we beat Gonzaga, a number one seed. But we also earlier in the month had beaten Creighton. And when we went through the battles in the Big Ten, that's what I'm going to remember. And Zach, you're well aware of what this feels like. Every game in the Big Ten to me felt like the second game of the first weekend of the tournament. So if you played on Thursday and then you were going Saturday and it was a 3-6 matchup, or it was a 2-7 matchup, or it was a 1-8 matchup, those games were so exhausting. Hats off to the coaches in the league, sensational offensive coaches. When we think of the Big Ten as a bruise 'em, bang 'em up, black and blue division, that's not the way it is. It's an offensive, really well coached, well put together teams of oversized players. I had never experienced that much size at all positions through a 20 game season.
Coach Phil Martelli here with us on the Zach Gelb Show for a few more minutes. When we see Juwan Howard, and you're around him a lot more obviously than we are, what is going to make him a very successful coach? And then also for you personally, after being so long at one program, how is this transition for you this year in a new role?
Well, Juwan is a very humble man. And you and I both know that in the coaching profession, there's not a lot of humility. There's a lot of ego.
Right on that.
Juwan does not have that ego. He is comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is. He is trying to give back. He's a servant. He is giving back. The game has given him a lot, and now he wants to give that back. I'm amazed at how much he loves the gym, loves practice, loves the hands-on individual work. Our big guys work with him every single day. For me, being with somebody humble, but also being across the board at Michigan, I'm amazed at the excellence in the IT people, the nutritionist, strength and conditioning. Every person at Michigan involved with basketball gets up and their thought is, how are we going to get one step closer to a national championship? That to me has been, it just juiced me. I couldn't wait every day to break down one more game or to make one more phone call, because it really is a special place. And I've said this repeatedly, my mission and my goal is to have Juwan Howard coach on a Monday night in April. And I think that that is certainly doable, and it's certainly going to happen in the foreseeable future.
I just saw a tweet a few moments ago, Coach Martelli, from John Rothstein that says, Dayton's sweep of National Player of the Year and National Coach of the Year with Obi Toppin and Anthony Grant by the AP is the first player-coach combo to win the award since St. Joe's duo of Jameer Nelson and Phil Martelli did it in 2004. You know, my heart also breaks, and we talk about some of the big-time programs too, but a program like Dayton that yep. was in this moment with the shot to win it all, and you had Obi and Coach Grant, and you know the A-10 better than most, my heart breaks for those two guys as well.
Well, I'd also go a step further. I saw that story earlier today, and I retweeted congratulations to Obi and to Anthony, but also to that remarkable fan base. They're tremendously supportive, and there are years you go in there and you wouldn't know if Dayton was 17-11 or as they were this year, 29-2, and they're very knowledgeable. I mean, the NCAA doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and they have the first four at Dayton because they know they're basketball fans. And it was a place in my time when they cheered for their team. There's a lot of places that you go on the road and they think that it's going to be cute or it's going to be advantageous for their team to go over the top about the opponent, and not at Dayton. So I had conversation via text with Anthony Grant during the year. And Obi Toppin was a beautiful, beautiful guy to compete against. So spectacular performance. It does. There's tremendous ache. And you would hope that the whole program, because that is a stellar program at Dayton, you would hope that they have that chance again. And it wasn't a once in a lifetime.
So what we've been doing this week, Coach, is we've been reliving past special teams to give fans a fix of some March Madness. We all know about your team in the 2003-2004 season, undefeated in the regular season. You lose that game in the A-10 tournament, and then you go on to the Elite Eight. When you look back at that 2003-2004 St. Joe's team, how do you look back at that team all these years later? What does that team mean to you?
Well, the beauty in with that group was whatever the assignment was for that day, the 13 guys did everything they could to make that a perfect day. So if it was weight training, there was no guys coming late because that wasn't acceptable. There was no guys doing 8 reps instead of 10 reps. Whatever the assignment was, if it was a day off, I didn't have to think about, well, you know what? I better go check the gym because Delonte West is going to be in there getting extra shots. They did exactly what they were asked to do. My biggest regret, or not the regret, but my biggest wonder is I hope that they recognize what they did, because they created smiles all throughout the Philadelphia area and all throughout the country. Even the very last night when we were going to the Wooden Awards, and three guys in the LAX airport came out of a shop they were working on tiling, and they yelled to Jameer Nelson, St. Joe Hawks, Jameer Nelson. It was a team that touched many. It's a team that, to me, even though we've had national champions in Philadelphia with the Villanova teams, I think that team will be held up for a standard for everybody in sport, for how a team was to operate. Yes, we had stars. Yes, we had guys that went on to the NBA. But we really, truly had a team where respect went from the walk-on scout team player to Jameer Nelson. I'm eternally grateful for those guys allowing me to coach them.
Last one for Coach Martelli, who's been spectacular here with us as always on CBS Sports Radio. We know the transition that did happen at Michigan with Beilein going to the Cavs for a brief time and then Juwan Howard coming in. Your guys have a lot of connections to John Beilein. You being there with that program the day where he stepped down as the head coach, what were the conversations like in your guys' building that day?
The players were surprised, but they were – grounded in terms of the culture that John Beilein left. Basketball IQ, students first and foremost. So we had no Mickey Mouse stuff this year, and that's a tribute to John Beilein. And I think that the greatest statement that you can make about John Beilein and the program that he built at Michigan is that it's a blue blood. Average 30 wins, 2 final game appearances. They don't yell it. They're not East Coast guys like myself. I yell about it. They want to whisper about it. And just a small story that probably got glossed over. John Beilein called the NCAA, called the NBA, asked for permission to be at our senior night for John Teske and Xavier Simpson. Pure class. Those guys appreciated, and they both choked up when they were told that he was in the building to honor them. But that's exactly what he did. He didn't want the spotlight to be on himself. He wanted it to be on those seniors. And I applaud John Beilein and wish him well in his next endeavor.
Well, Coach, I hope you and your family hang in there during these tough times. Good luck next year when the team gets back on the basketball court. I always do enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much.
And I appreciate all you're doing for people, you know, just taking our minds and a little bit of the worry off. So keep doing what you're doing, and I'm always here for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.